This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. So did you make it to any Sustainable St Albans events this week? Didn't make it to as many as I'd like to, but I did notice that a lot of events were to do with making our homes more energy efficient, cheaper to run and with lower emissions. Not only do badly insulated buildings cost a fortune to keep warm, but home heating is responsible for about 14% of the UK's entire carbon emissions. So I'm always on the lookout for local projects looking to bring down those emissions and to help normalise the creation, either by building or retrofitting, of the super well-insulated houses that we'll all need in the future. I was therefore interested to hear that James Fisher, he's the head of strategic partnerships at the Building Research Establishment down in Garston, that he was undertaking a project of his own. As part of a business venture, he's building three new local houses, one of which will be his home and which he reckons will be the most sustainable house in Hertfordshire. It's quite bold, isn't it? So with a claim like that, well, I had to find out more. James, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. So you work at BRE and your work involves helping make other people's buildings more sustainable. But is this something that's of personal interest to you as well?
Absolutely, Amanda. I've always been motivated by sustainability. I went to school quite locally to St Albans. I went to Palmerters in Garston. And I do remember very clearly the day that our A-level physics teacher first told us about sunlight falling onto solar panels, giving us effectively free electricity. And from that moment forward, I didn't understand why anybody would not want to do this. So I've always been conscious of the use of the earth resources, and I just really don't understand why people think that materials and resources are there for one use and one use only.
Okay, well, that is good to hear. Now, it's been said that the house that you're just completing for yourself is the most sustainable in Hertfordshire. That's quite a big claim to make. Was that the challenge when you set out on this project?
Yeah, I don't think it was necessarily the absolute target. But certainly in a few email conversations that I'd had with Daisy Cooper, MP, I was making sure that she knew that we were reaching for the highest levels. And obviously, as something that I do in my daytime role with BRE, I'm motivated by that mission externally as well. And, you know, I feel like I had the experience of the sustainability aspects coupled with the business partner that I'm doing this project with, you know, on the practical side of things. We absolutely had to reach for the stars, because I can't tell people to do something that I'm not prepared to have a go at myself. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And how did you go about, as it were, assembling the team that was going to be necessary for this, finding the architect, finding the builder?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And we always knew from the start that we wanted to drive the passive house standard and also use BRE's certification scheme, the home quality mark, in our project. And actually, you know, we were lucky enough already to know the Wheat Hampstead team at AD Practice, the local architects. And you won't be surprised to know that people who are in that sort of passive house or high energy efficiency world know lots of other people that do that. I've also mopped up a few ex-BRE colleagues who've got different businesses along the way. Kim Mead is our passive house consultant. He used to work with me. So it's a very local, homespun team of good contacts, good track record, and just people who... I'm all about relationships. So, you know, being able to gel together was super important.
Well, that's really good to know that we have that expertise locally that enabled you to do this. So let's hear about some of the features of your new home that make it particularly sustainable. Now, you've mentioned passive house there. So is it built to passive house standards?
Yeah, that's right. So we are going to be certificating or certifying the houses to Passive House. It's a development of 3 units. Often people use the standard, but they don't go through the certification process, and that's something that we're going to finish. So the piece of paper will tell you that it's actually achieved that level. In terms of the energy performance, I mean, yeah, some of this stuff is not particularly novel. It's just bringing all those pieces together. So we've gone for a very highly insulated fabric, which means, of course, that in winter the house keeps warm. But it's also important to mention that in the summer, of course, it keeps the house cool as well. When you think about the cathedral in St. Albans, it feels cool when you go in summer because of the thermal mass that you have in there. And that's the same that you get with the insulation. So we've got a very high performance fabric. We've got triple glazed windows throughout. I think there's also one quaternary pane in there too. We've got air source heat pumps. We've got solar panels on the roofs. You know, we just try to maximise everything. But it was also important to me, Amanda, that we didn't tip over into the sort of super eco, kind of almost eco-wacky arena.
So we're not talking composting toilets here then?
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned those, because I remember first seeing those at the Centre for Alternative Technology near Macuncliffe when I was in my teens. And I definitely think that would have been a bridge too far, particularly then. But, it's about sensible, value case-driven sustainability. I mean, you know, one of these houses will be for market sale. For that reason, going back to the discussion over how high we were going with the bar, I think it's, you know, we're waiting for the final EPC data to come out, but I think we will certainly be up there in the top 3 or 4 or 5 most sustainable in St Albans, Hertfordshire, and possibly the southeast of England. When I looked at the EPC data set, the other numbers that seemed to be higher were probably down to data entry errors.
Oh, right. Okay. So just talk through a couple of other things. How about water? Have you got systems to make sure it's very water efficient? Because obviously there's a very water stressed area.
Yeah, that's right. So we have driven quite far on the water efficiency. We haven't gone, in this case, for rainwater harvesting, but we have lots of soak away and ground remediation that helps us to contain water. We've also dug a borehole, and there was a situation if we wanted to in the future where we could be off grid for water as well as for energy as well. So we haven't stepped quite as far forward into the water reduction possibly as we could have done. And people could quite rightly challenge me on that and say, well, you know, you're a sustainability expert. You haven't done everything you possibly could. It's like, well, no, because I haven't built a house before. So, let me get this one under my belt. And then the next challenge will be, you know, perhaps a deeply intensive energy efficient retrofit. And we can push more boundaries as we go further forward. But you've got to start somewhere.
Yes, indeed. And I'm just thinking also, you've named a lot of ways in which that the house will perform in a very sustainable way. How about the materials that went into it? Was that a big consideration for you?
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. So, you know, people talk a lot about embodied carbon, and we were trying to reduce that as much as possible. We conducted some calculations across the reasonable life cycle for the house and tried to drive those total in the right direction. So it's a timber frame houses that were manufactured offsite. So we were actually driving that offsite timber agenda, which meant, of course, we're saving carbon. We tried to minimise the use of concrete as much as possible. But equally, because we needed a very highly efficient insulated slab, we also needed to use relatively more concrete than perhaps you would if you were just doing a conventional build. We've got recycled newspaper forming the insulation in the house as well. So, yeah, again, it's always about, you know, sustainability is a balance. And you always have to make sure you land somewhere in the sweet spot with all of these things.
And I suppose also, as you say, you're building a house for yourself, but also for other people to buy as well. So presumably you want to make sure that something will have appeal to a general purchaser as well.
Absolutely. It was always important to us that these were... Well, we're selling one of the three, but it's important for us that they were always contemporary-looking normal houses that just happen to be environmentally friendly at the same time.
And how about just thinking about the land around the house? Will you be trying to make that sustainable? You've mentioned things like water and water soaking away. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you've incorporated there?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're, as I said earlier, we're using the BRE's Home Quality Mark assessment to drive the sustainability score across the whole development. And that methodology has criteria for landscaping and ecology. So we've obviously been highly respectful of natural habitat. We've also driven an increase in native species planting and tried to reduce the amount of non-native planting that's in play. All of our landscaping, our hard landscaping, is rainwater permeable. And we've got lots of habitat for insects and wildlife, because we have a parcel of woodland behind plot as well, which is Greenbelt woodland. And we've got lots of naturally fallen timber in there that's becoming lots of nice places for insects and whatever else to live and dwell. And we want to rewild to some degree, but I'm not an expert in that topic, so I'm not going to go too heavily into that, because I'll probably let myself down.
That sounds fantastic, and it sounds like that will be a really fitting environment for your lovely sustainable house. So on Grand Designs, the process usually takes people to breaking point, but they think it's worth it. Do you feel that this is worth it? Has it been very hard for you?
Oh, I'm not going to deny it's been super hard. My wife and I have got two young children, and I'd like, and they were part of the motivating factor for us, really, was just to know that they would be growing up in a home where we've sort of accommodated the future climate. But we've had to, we've put them through the mill while we've been doing this. I mean, let's think about it. We first saw the plot 4 years ago. So all of the grand design cliches are coming home to roost. I want to do it because I thought, if I can do this, then other people can too. I don't have any particularly specialist knowledge. I just have a very fierce determination to succeed in the things that I tackle. Getting the funding is always a challenge, but that's always a challenge on grand designs. It's always a challenge for anybody going to get funding, even if you're one of the large house builders. The revolving funds, the revolving fund of 100 million doesn't just turn up on your doorstep. You have to go and fight for it. So I do believe that if anything's worth doing, it's worth putting your energy into. And if you cut me in half, you would see that I'm motivated by the core mission of saving the planet. So what price is there? Surely a little bit of suffering along the way is only par for the course.
Now, you mentioned perhaps you might try to go for another project which would be a retrofit. Is that something that you are likely to do, do you think? Because we'd be very interested to hear how that went, given that so many of us are living in houses that frankly do need retrofitting.
No, absolutely. I mean, and I said earlier, it's a fair challenge. Well, someone will say, well, it's easy to do it with new build. Well, okay, let's learn the lessons from new build and then take them on to refurb, Of course, we've got a big net zero challenge in the UK. We've got probably the oldest housing stock in Europe, so we do have a challenge. I think it's fair to say that we'll be going on and doing other things. And I think, the one that's teeing up next, or probably second or third, is a retrofit project. So, but you have to bite these things off in the right order. So there will be more of a story here in the future. So, watch this space, everybody. We're happy to share. Really happy for people to come and tour around and see what we've done as well, because my whole motivation is to help people, to help themselves with these, with these big questions. So if you'd like to come and have a look at what we've done, please feel free to come and kick the tires and learn the lessons from us.
I am sure a lot of people would be very willing to take you up on that. So it sounds like you would encourage other people to do this as well.
Absolutely, because I think, we collectively need to send a message that we need to get after this challenge of net zero. And the more people that join that groundswell movement. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go, I'm not the sort of person that's going to stick myself to a bridge or somewhere in central London. You can be a polite protester in different ways, and by taking action is the most important thing you can do. So please jump on board. That's, it's all about the journey rather than the destination. So start with something every day that you can do to make a difference.
James, thank you so much for telling us about that.
No problem at all. It's been a pleasure.
Ah, and do you know, I did not tell James to say that bit at the end, but what a perfect plug for last week's Environment Matters, all about the many forms of activism. We had four inspiring local people who gave their very different takes on activism and how it can be so much more than waving a banner at a protest or signing an online petition. And both of those are brilliant things to do, but as last week's guests show, the sky's the limit. So if you missed the show, head to the podcast page of mix926.com and catch up at a convenient time in your day. And whilst most of us can only dream of building our own passive house, we can all take steps like ensuring that our lofts have the recommended 30 centimetres of insulation, or we can draft proof our doors and windows. And if you'd like to do more to insulate your home but you don't have the funds to do so, then search for Better Housing, Better Health, where St Albans, Watford and Three Rivers residents can get free advice, not just on the home energy things they can do, but also on finding funding to do that from the New Energy Foundation advisors. And now is a perfect time to be making improvements ready for next winter. I know, it seems ridiculous when it's so hot, but good insulation does, after all, keep your home cool as well. So are you planning any eco improvements to your home? Well, needless to say, always love to hear about them. You can get in touch via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on Twitter and Facebook. Right, I've just got time to tell you about an exciting sounding fundraising event run by Save North St Albans Greenbelt Community Action Group on 2nd of July from 2 o'clock. They say whilst you can't normally have a picnic at Childebury, the estate has kindly given permission to hold this fundraising event to support their campaign. They're raising money to fight the inclusion of Greenbelt Farm and equestrian land south of Hartwood as a development site in the local plan. Now you're invited to join their fun-filled afternoon with live music from local artists Change the World Through Music, great food and a well-stocked bar with real ale and cocktails. And for more details and ticket prices, visit their website savenorthstalbansgreenbelt.org. I'll be back with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.